after reading in 2 Samuel 11, we see all the sin that David did. And then 2 Samuel chapter 12, when God's man points out his sin and he repents of his sin. Then we see this prayer in Psalm 51 as David pours out his heart before the Lord. Lesson today is lesson 9. Lesson 9, restore the joy of thy salvation. Lesson 9. The memory verse that goes along with that lesson is Psalm 51:12. Anybody want to say that for us this morning? Psalm 51:12. Okay, maybe you're ready with the ones that were that we had assigned above and beyond that. Anybody? What verses are you ready with? Where'd my verse lady go? I lost her. There she is. Say your verse. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue sing aloud of thy righteousness. Praise the Lord. And that was Psalm 51:14. Kelly, are you ready with verses? But whatever verses. Okay, how about 15? Because 14 and 15 were actually the last ones assigned. That's not hardly fair. I didn't even tell him ahead of time. Look at it real quick. My mouth. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Work your memory verses. In the back of the seats, there's blank ones. Write out your memory verse and work on it each day, and you'll be surprised what a blessing these will be. Let's open a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful that as we look at this account of David, a man after God's own heart, and yet he fell, and yet there was a way back to God. When God's man pointed out his sin, he repented. First he acknowledged that sin, then he repented, and then he turned from it. And Lord, you brought back to him the joy of thy salvation. Lord, as we look into our lesson today, and we go over this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, might we realize no matter what we've done, no matter how far down the path of sin we've gone, when your Holy Spirit speaks to us and we repent of that sin and confess that sin, that you will give us that joy again. Lord, we pray that you would have your Spirit and your Word to speak to each heart here today. Pray for our pastor as he's preaching, and then as he's traveling, Lord, bring him to us safely, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 51, verse 12 is the verse that goes along with our lesson. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Our lesson, restore the joy. David had lost that joy. We've gone through things in our lives where we've been on the wrong side of God, where we've sinned. And thankfully, as we see here, there's a path that we can go down and have that fellowship restored. You and I find true joy in the Lord Jesus Christ as we walk with him personally each day. As we walk with him personally each day, we find that joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. David here in Psalm 51:12, begging God to restore the joy of his salvation. Turn with me in your notes, if you would, to page number 39, which is where we left off last week. Page number 39. First thing in the lesson, we saw the occasion of this prayer. And, of course, that was after David's great sin and after God's man had pointed out that sin to him. Then, the second part of the lesson, obedience to God is the secret to joy. It's not found in a book that we pick up necessarily at Walmart or somewhere. There's no magic formula, per se, that we discover someday, and all of a sudden we have the joy of the Lord. What it actually is in obeying the voice of the Lord, obeying the commands of the Lord. David lost his joy when he disobeyed God. To get his joy again, he had to obey the Lord. We sometimes think that the absence of physical pain or the absence of trouble is a secret to joy, but it's certainly not. The presence of God is the secret to joy. The presence of God. Walking in God's presence each day is where we will find the joy. It is those difficult things in our lives that God uses to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we can seek the Lord. The difficult things in our lives bring us to the end of ourselves. We've heard it said that God starts working when we can no longer work. When we've done all we can, God starts working then. Actually, he's been working all along. But that's when we see it. We see it when we come to the end of ourselves and we've done all we could, and whatever the trouble is that we're looking at or considering or going through, we fall down before God and say, God, I've done all I could. I don't know what to do. And we all carry burdens. We have children. We have friends. There are things that burden us, that trouble us. We need to go to the Lord with these things. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 15. John 15. John 15, we'll start reading in verse 1. We'll read through verse 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Notice in this chapter as we read, notice the abide in me, abide in me. Because this is where our joy and our peace is going to come from as we abide in the Lord. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, it abideth in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 11 again, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Fullness of joy comes as you and I abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Christian life, we fight battles and we win victories. Unfortunately, if you and I win a victory in a battle today, let's say on Bible reading, that doesn't necessarily mean that we've won that victory for our entire life, does it? Tomorrow morning, we're going to get up and we're going to face the same battles. Are we going to take time, that precious time when we spend a few moments with the Lord, before His Word, in prayer? Those battles we face each day, and we have victorious times. Sometimes it seems like we have great victory, and other times it seems that we can have great failure. But as we abide in Christ, John 15, abide in me. John 15, 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. How is our joy full? As we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Following along in your notes, in John 15, we find the secret is abiding in Christ. As we saw there in many of the verses, abide in me, verse 4, verse 6, verse 7, verse 10. As we think about abiding, we think of abiding as obedience, abiding under His ruling presence. Psalm 91:1, turn with me to Psalm 91:1, in fact. That's an excellent verse. Some of you may know it. You probably know it once you hear it. Psalm 91:1. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's certainly the place to abide, isn't it? Under the shadow of the Almighty. How do we abide there? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Those that take time with the Lord in prayer. Those that open God's Word and pray, Lord, speak to me today from your Word. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Abiding, remaining, tarrying under God's ruling presence. You and I have joy in our lives when we abide in the presence of the Lord. When we abide in the presence of the Lord. Some days we get up, a lot of things on our mind. Got to do this, got to do that, got to do this. Not much time to do it all. We rush into our day, trying to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish for the day. And we don't spend any time in the presence of the Lord. If you and I want joy in our lives, we're going to need to spend time in the presence of the Lord. If we abide in Him, the Lord said in John 15, 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We can have joy. It's promised to us. It's given to us. There's a few things we need to do. There's a few things we need to do. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to spend time with Him. We need to abide in His presence. Turn me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 8. First Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Last week we read about the account of Moses, that Moses was willing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, than to spend that time. He certainly could have had anything had he continued to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he gave that up. What for? For joy unspeakable. For joy unspeakable. He would know that joy as seeing. Let's go there, Hebrews chapter 12. Because he says in that verse, Hebrews chapter 11, I'm sorry, he says in the verse there about as seeing him, talking about Christ, that he literally saw him. Hebrews 11, 27. No, not 27. Where is that? Where is it at? Kelly, do you see that? As seeing him. What verse? It is 27. And the word yet once more. I'm in the wrong chapter, that's why. 11:27, thank you. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw Christ. He saw Christ. His heart was so in tune with God that his focus, his vision, was on honoring Christ, on honoring the Lord, as seeing him who is invisible. You and I see the Lord when we walk with him. When we walk before his presence, we see the Lord. We're concerned with, am I pleasing the Lord in my life if we walk before him? When we don't walk before him, when we walk in the flesh, when we walk in doing the things of the day that we need to do, we don't see him. Moses saw him. Moses had much to give up. Moses had much to give up. He gave up all the wealth. He gave up a life of anything he wanted, of luxury. He gave all that up. Why? Because he saw that he needed to honor that one that would come. To Moses, it was someone that he had not seen, that was not recorded, that they had seen him yet. You and I, we're after the fact. We've got this record. History proves Jesus Christ, the death, and what all he did for us. Moses didn't have any of that. And yet, in Hebrews 11, 27, he says, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had the joy of the Lord, because he walked in the presence of the Lord. We think that somewhere there is a magic formula that we can finally discover, like some mysterious thing that we have been searching for all of our lives. And when we happen upon it, it is joy. But joy comes from knowing and obeying God's word. Knowing and obeying God's word. You've all seen times in your lives where you've obeyed the Lord and you've walked with the Lord and had sweet fellowship with the Lord and you think, man, this is great. Wouldn't it be nice if I did this all the time? And then there's other days where you look back at the end of the day and you think, what did I do for the Lord? Where did I even think about him today? My job, my whatever, all those things that came in the way and we spent a day and didn't take time for the Lord. The Lord loves us. He wants to give us joy. He wants us to have joy. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It never ceases to amaze me. The love of God the Son to mankind. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him, what kind of joy do you think was on the cross that day? Maybe when they spit in his face? Maybe when they put the crown of thorns on his head? Where was the joy in the cross? Maybe as men mocked him. Where was the joy in the cross? The joy in the cross, the joy that Jesus looked to, was the obedience of his Father's will in completing salvation plan for mankind. That's the joy. Christ had joy that day. Was it joy when they put the crowns on? No, it wasn't. But you know what? The Lord didn't let the crown of thorns, he didn't let them spitting in his face, he didn't let the cruel mockery, he didn't let any of that stop him from reaching that joy. He didn't let any of that stop him. You say something mean to me and it throws me off my day. I say something unkind to you and you get offended. We're human beings. We get offended. And that knocks us out of our joy. Nobody shoves crowns of thorns on our head or spits in our face. Christ never lost the vision of that joy, and that joy was the completion of the salvation of mankind. I've been in church most of my life. I've gotten offended. I've seen people get offended. I've seen myself and others get offended about things that don't mean anything. And yet, there's offense. I've seen people, what's the saying? Hurting people hurt people. I've seen people hurt pastors. Hurt them. Why? Because they got offended. Got offended. None of us have ever gone through what Christ did, and yet for Christ it was joy. Christ did not let those things knock him off that focus of the joy of obeying the Father's will and completing salvation for mankind. That was his joy. You and I can have joy. We can have joy in spite of hard things that come into our lives. Because none of us have ever resisted against blood, striving against sin as Christ prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. None of us have had it that hard, have we? But yet Christ looked at that as joy. You and I can have joy if we put things into perspective. If we, Psalm 91:1, if we abide in the presence of the Almighty. We can have that joy. The Lord will give that to us. You can't get caught up in the little things. If Christ had stopped, the crown's too much, the spittle's too much, these guys are too much, I'm going to toast you guys and call the angels and destroy them. No, for the joy that was set before him. We have a wonderful God, amen? We have a wonderful Savior. You and I can have joy. The Lord is giving it to us if we'll but walk in his presence. When we get up each day, we need to walk in the Lord's presence. The Lord wants to give us joy. He wants us to walk in joy. Joy in Hebrews chapter 12, the same joy that we saw in John 15:11. We can have that joy. There's a quiet place of rest and peace near to the heart of God when we know we have been obedient to the Lord. Psalm 91:1. Do you have joy? Do you have something that the world cannot take away? Yes, we do. We do. You and I will have joy in our lives as we submit to the presence of the Lord each day, as we submit to the presence of the Lord. each day. Joy. Promised to us, many verses in the Bible about it. Pull a card out of a seat, memorize a couple of those verses. Have them close to you. So when somebody says something and you get offended, you think, oh, that guy can't talk to me that way, take that verse and don't let things knock you out of the joy of the Lord. Don't let things knock you out. Christ didn't let anything knock him out of the joy. We should not. Christ walked this path. He's already done this. We can do this. Christ has already done it. He promises to be with us. Take God's word. Let it rule in your heart. Let God's presence give you joy each day. The Lord is good. Amen. Take your questions. We'll go through those now. Got your questions? What does David ask God to restore? Ma'am? The joy of his salvation. Amen. Number two, according to Hebrews 11, 23 through 27, what choices did Moses make which proved to be the best choice? Suffer affliction for the people of God. Amen. Amen. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Amen. Very good. James 1, 14 and 15 teaches that the end result of sin is death. Lust when it's finished, sin when it's finished. Lust when it's finished bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. Bringing forth death. That verse, lust when it's conceived, bringing forth sin. That's where David was. Brought that sin when it was all done. There was lots of death around David. James 1, 14 and 15. No, sorry. John 15, 1 through 11. How do we have Christ's joy in us and experience fullness of joy? Abiding in him. Excellent. By abiding in Christ. According to 1 Peter 1, 8. Sorry about that, 1, 18. 1, 8. What kind of joy do we have in the Lord Jesus? Joy unspeakable. We have unspeakable joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unspeakable, not able to be spoken. It's so wonderful. Not able to be spoken. We can't put words to it. Joy unspeakable. In Hebrews 12, 2, what was the joy set before Jesus Christ? Endured the suffering for what purpose? Despising the shame. Okay. Sitting on the right hand. The completion of man's salvation. That was a joy. The obedience of the Lord, obeying the Father in dying the death to complete salvation for mankind. Excellent. Sounds like you all did your homework. Very good. Okay. Next week we'll be in lesson, what is it, 10? Lesson 10 next week. We've done 14, verses 14 and 15. We've got four lessons left. It's going to be one verse per lesson. So next week is verse 16. Work on those verses. Work on Hebrews, Psalm 51. You can memorize the whole chapter. Right now, there's people that have probably 75% of it memorized. You can do it. A guy a lot less smarter than you did it. So I know you can do it. That was me. But now I was talking about Kelly. Oh, there it goes. Thanks for coming today. Lord is good.